Are you ready? It's time for On the Double with the Double S Express. Great sports talk and big time guests with Sean Wally and Sean Boyd on the Double with the Double S Express.
Yeah, when I first saw that bikini top on her, she's popping right out of the South Georgia water. Thought, oh good Lord, she had them long tail legs. Couldn't help myself, so I walked up and said, well, baby, you a song. You made me wanna roll my windows down.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to On the Double with the Double S Express. Sean Wally alongside Sean Boyd. A lot of good things happening in the sports world, but some heavy hearts throughout the Pacific Northwest and anybody that has been touched by the University of Washington. Sean Boyd, what's going on this evening?
Well, hello to everybody out there listening to this episode or this show of On the Double with the Double S Express. Yeah, definitely heavy hearts as Don James passed away yesterday. The dog father that he's fondly known as, and just a, you know, a tough time for the Pacific Northwest, actually the whole country, if you will. And so, you know, he has definitely touched a lot of individuals as far as, you know, raising fine young men to get them to the next level, to be great stewards in the community. And so it is, it's a tough time, not only for Seattle, but the country in general.
Of course, Don James being the winningest football coach in the history at University of Washington, and as you mentioned, nicknamed the Dog Father, and he led the Huskies to the co-national championship in 1991, and many, many bowl games. I believe it was 15 in his tenure with 10 wins, which at the time was, I believe, in the top five of all-time college football coaching.
Yeah, you know, the things that I remember, you know, and this is something that I, you know, we've been talking about the past couple of weeks, you know, growing up in the Pacific Northwest. And of course, my son, you know, getting the chance to play for the University of Washington, you know, those ties, you know, to the Pacific Northwest and the Washington Huskies goes a long ways. And even though I didn't go to the University of Washington, you know, my heart bleeds purple and gold. You know, whenever they come on the air, you know, whether it's football, basketball, you name it. You know, I remember growing up watching many University of Washington football games. And, you know, my fondest memories are that air raid siren going off as, you know, the Washington Huskies come out of the tunnel. And, you know, I thought, man, someday that's going to be me coming out of that tunnel. And, you know, it's those types of things. And watching Don James lead the team out onto the field, those are the things that stick into your memory bank. And so, you know, I'm going to remember some great things as far as Don James is concerned and what he's done, you know, for the University of Washington. And, you know, I believe that, you know, their time is coming to get back to that dominance.
Yeah, and Don James was just a great man all around, on and off the football field, and we'll definitely get into that more with our big-time guest number one here in a few minutes as we welcome back in Greg Lewis, former University of Washington running back great, who joined us just as recently as last week, and he was kind enough to come back on here this evening and, you know, talk to us about Coach James and how he impacted him and the team and how Don James was as a coach and a person.
Yeah, you know, and so, you know, I'm sorry, I apologize. You know, my son, you know, as I said a minute ago, he played for the University of Oregon, but, you know, those ties and, you know, as myself being raised as a Washington Husky, he was raised a Washington Husky as well, all my kids, you know, because that's what we instilled in the household. But, you know, they've gone on to play and it, you know, at different colleges. And so, but nonetheless, it's still, you know, the University of Washington that we're thinking about this weekend and looking forward to here in the future.
And Coach James touched so many lives on and off the football field, from the casual fan to the hardcore season ticket holder that had, you know, year after year, season after season, they were there and they not only grew up watching Coach James, but were just touched by how he was able to bring the best out of his players.
Yeah, you know, and that was the thing at the time. The University of Washington was not looked upon as one of the top or the perennial schools in the country. Of course, there's always the Miamis and the Florida States at the time, the Nebraskas, the Ohio States, the Michigans, if you will. Those teams stood atop as far as top teams in the nation. But there was a great deal of talent that came out of the University of Washington, and that was because of Don James and knowing how to recruit talent. And, you know, our guest that's going to be coming on, Greg Lewis, who was on with us last week, will be, you know, talking about those things. And so, you know, Don James was great as far as a recruiter is concerned, a mentor. And, you know, he revolutionized the game, not just in the Pacific Northwest, but around the country.
And let's go out to the phone lines and welcome in big time guest number one tonight, Greg Lewis, former running back at the University of Washington, who can tell us great things about Coach James and the insights as to how he was as a coach and a person. Greg Lewis, thanks so much for joining us here again on the double. And I'm sorry it's under these circumstances. And what can you tell us about Coach James and how he impacted your life?
Well, let me start by saying, you know, I remember in the early 90s, a Sports Illustrated article came out where they wanted to talk about the three best programs that in a lot of areas of football, you know, who had the three best stadiums in the country. And they listed, you know, some great stadiums, Michigan, Ohio State, and Nebraska, I believe, at the time. And then they talked about the greatest offenses. And then they got the coaches, and they listed the three greatest coaches in college football. And they said number three, Don James. Number two, Don James. Number one, Don James. I think he's somebody who was respected all across the country as a coach. But let me tell you, from a former player perspective, and someone who knew him as a player and later on in life, as great of a football coach as he was also a great human being and individual. And I just want to start this off by saying I was proud to have played for Don James.
Greg, thank you for being on the double with the Double S Express. You know, kind of walk us through the recruiting process. And I'm sure that Coach James, you know, sat in the living room and got a chance to come out and see you at a couple of your games. What was that process like as far as, you know, his demeanor, you know, how you felt that the University of Washington was the right place for you?
Well, you know, during those days, recruiting was done in a smaller time span than it is nowadays. Nowadays, they're recruiting kids 8th, 9th, 10th grade. But back in the mid-80s, it was more about a year and a half long process. And as a kid growing up in Seattle, of course, I knew about the University of Washington. And when you talk about West Coast programs, you know, there was USC and there was University of Washington. Those were the preeminent programs on the West Coast. So certainly, I was a big Husky fan, and my mom wanted me to go to Stanford because of the great educational opportunities, and Jack Elway was recruiting me at the time. But, Don James, you know, told me, himself that we're only recruiting two running backs this year. I was one of them. And so I was obviously honored. And, you know, he, made a point of coming to some of my basketball games, even, you know, after the football season was over. I'd see him up in the stands. And, you know, Don James, we all know he has that stoic demeanor and he's not a real expressive person, but you always knew where he stood. He said, "Greg, I want you to be a Husky, and I can't promise you that you'll go to the NFL and that, you know, I can't even guarantee you how much success you'll have. But if you come to the University of Washington and you work hard, and you go to class, first, I'll guarantee you that you'll get a college degree. Secondly, if you prepare and do the things that I ask you to do, we'll have an opportunity to be a real successful football program." And I can tell you, everything Don James said was true. And, you know, I respect a person who, doesn't give you, you know, what you want to hear, but tells you the truth. And that was Don James. And, it was a great opportunity. You know, he came and, in-home visit. Jim Lambright was the person in charge of recruiting for the state of Washington, but the head coach is kind of the closer. And Don, you know, made my mom assure her that I would get a degree, that he would make sure that if there was a need outside of football, that his door was always open. And so my mom was comfortable enough to, although she still wanted me to go to Stanford, allow me to choose the University of Washington. And a lot of that had to do with the man that Don James was.
Don demanded a great deal of respect, you know, especially in developing the program at the University of Washington. One of the misconceptions that Don had, you know, and it seemed to come later in his career, as to standing high atop the tower, it almost made it seem as if he was untouchable. Can you kind of give the listeners an idea on, you know, again, how up close and personable that Don James was to the players?
Well, let me use a different word. You said he demanded respect. I more so felt like he commanded respect. He didn't have to tell us to respect him. It was the way he did things. He went about his business. The way he had that steely gaze. You know, if guys got out of line, he would definitely be hands-on and dealing with those issues and problems. So he kind of commanded respect. I remember one of the things you never wanted to do if we were, you know, at the hotel the night before the game, you never wanted to get on the elevator and get caught in the elevator with Coach James. It was just a kind of an uneasiness a little bit. I mean, there was a little bit. It wasn't fear in the sense of afraid, but just that, you know, that respect that he commanded. And, you know, Don did stand in the tower, and you didn't interact with him directly a lot as a player in that sense. Now, if you did have, you know, something that was wrong or going on, his door was always open. But Don, you know, he established a protocol on how he ran that the team, and it was an organization, it was a business based on preparation and accountability. And those are messages that we heard over and over again from Coach James. But I can remember as a true freshman, my first meeting, being in the locker room. I mean, I'm sorry, in the team room, and a lot of conversations. You can imagine 110 guys and coaches. And when Don James walked in the door, all you heard was shh. And instantly everybody was quiet because that's the kind of respect that he commanded. But you know, the only time you really talked to Coach James as a player was when you were captain or you were in trouble. Those were the two primary times. So you didn't want to be in trouble. We had a system where if you were really in trouble, you would get a red lock on your locker. And only person who could take that off was Coach James. So if you had the infamous red lock and you had to go see Coach James, believe me, there'd be a lot of trepidation on that walk from the locker room to that office.
Husky legendary running back Greg Lewis, kind enough to join us here on the Double with the Double S Express as we reminisce about his time with Coach Don James. And Greg, what is your fondest memory of Coach James?
Well, I think for Coach James, you know, although he was stoic and the disciplinarian and those things, he always, in the end, showed you his human side and just that, that there are things that are, you know, important in life outside of football. And my probably best way of expressing that is I remember, going into my, junior season. It was the first day of a two-a-days, and my wife was actually pregnant and went into labor. And, you know, it was an important year for Coach James because we were coming off a 6-5 season, no bowl game. And, you know, there were whispers that maybe Coach James has, you know, kind of reached his peak and kind of lost it a little bit. And maybe the game's passing him by. And, he made some changes. He actually fired offensive line coach, brought in Keith Gilbertson. We went to a one back system. He changed the defense where we went to, I think a defense that kind of revolutionized college football at the time with a lot of 10, 11, 10 fronts. But here I was, I hadn't had a big season yet, hadn't rushed for 1,000 yards. And he allowed me to go to the hospital after practice and told me I didn't have to worry about curfew, you know, and get back, you know, whenever I get back. And so I went to the hospital, and my daughter just happened to be born in the wee hours of the morning. So by the time I got back to campus, it was, you know, 5-6 in the morning, and I slept through the morning meetings, and I slept through the first practice. And like I said, this was a pivotal year for us. And so I came to get prepared for the second practice, and there was the red lock on my locker, and I had to go see Coach James. And, you can imagine I was a little nervous about, what was going to happen. And so I tried to go to my position coach, and he's like, Greg, you know, only Coach James, you got to go see the man. So I went up to his office, and I knocked on the door, and he said, come in, sit down, and, you know, got a real direct, and I sat down, and he, you know, talked about, you know, I gave you an opportunity to go, you know, see your child being born, because I thought it was important, but you still have an obligation to this team, you know, and you're a, you know, player we've been counting on, and, you know, you know, he kind of was reading me the riot act a little bit, and he leaned back in his chair, and he said, what do you have to say for yourself? And, you know, I had to choose my words carefully because I was like, the next 30 seconds, Greg, are going to kind of have a real large impact in your life. And I thought about it, and I said the first thing came to my mind. I said, Coach, there's some things just more important than football. And after what seemed to be an eternity to me, which probably only was maybe a 30 seconds or so, he said, okay, go on back to practice. And so although I learned, you know, he expressed to me the importance of accountability and being committed and not letting down your responsibility. He also showed his human side that he understood that that was something that was real important. And, you know, again, that was Don James. He was a disciplinarian. He expected a lot out of you, but at the same time, he also cared.
And those are some things that, you know, you've definitely hit it on the head, because from somebody on the outside looking in, and with fond memories of the University of Washington at that time of the football program, it seemed like Don definitely demanded that and, you know, was a disciplinarian. Can you tell us, you know, how that affected you as far as a player's, player is concerned, and it's in actually becoming a parent and a young man, or yeah, a young man growing into being a man?
Yeah, I think, you know, there's some things that his, you know, I use the word accountability, preparation, you know, and when he talked about accountability, it wasn't just about football. You know, you, as a man, you want to be accountable to your family, accountable to your community, and also you wanted to, you know, reach back and teach others about accountability and pass that message along. You know, I can remember, you know, many times, Coach James would, you know, operate in such a way that, don't stand, but the end came out of his rim. Got it. I can, others for me.
Sounds like we may have lost connection with Greg Lewis there. And, you know, Sean, he was just touching on about, I mean, basically the entire conversation, how great of a person as well as a football coach that Coach James was.
Yeah, you know, and again, you know, I'd mentioned earlier, you know, just on the outside looking in, watching how Don James ran the program and how his demeanor was, I felt like, you know, that was something that I wanted to be a part of. And so, you know, when you see that, and you see the young men that played under Coach James, you see how they respected Coach James and how they responded to it with, you know, the amount of wins you had mentioned earlier, 10 bowl game wins and 5 losses. You know, his overall career game, you know, tally was 153-57-2, you know, 73% at Washington. That is incredible, you know. And so, you know, I think back on those times. I think about those gold helmets that, you know, that would come out of the tunnel, you know, with the purple W, and how those guys were excited and that air raid siren would go off, and, you know, it just brings chills down my spine still, you know, to think of the history that Don James established. And so, you know, I'm very excited about that. I'm very excited to say that I'm a Pacific Northwest young man that grew up in the Seattle-Tacoma area and got a chance to be a part of that and go out and, you know, living in California now and still talking about those types of things that, you know, that happened in that era. And so it is, you know, it's a very, even though, you know, Coach James has passed, it's a time that we can celebrate his life, that, you know, the things that he's accomplished, and he accomplished a lot, Sean Wally.
That's the voice of Sean Boyd. I'm Sean Wally. This is On the Double with the Double S Express. Let's go back out to the phone lines and welcome back big time guest number one, Greg Lewis. Greg, apologize for the technical difficulties. Thanks so much for jumping back on. And if you were to speak to young men at the UW right now that aren't old enough to remember Don James and his heyday and the run you guys had in the late 80s and early 90s and the national championship team in 91, what would you tell them in two, three, four sentences what Coach James was all about?
Well, I think we've been discussing a little bit just about preparation and always being prepared. Coach James used to come, we would go to practice and we'd have a script. And I promise you, by the time we get through that it'd be 3 hours and 12 minutes, we would start that script at the exact moment it was supposed to, and we would get through everything. And by the time that horn went off for the final play in practice, it would be exactly as scripted. The timing, everything was about preparation. Then it was about accountability, and then it was about excellence. Those are the three values that he preached and that we live: accountability, excellence, and preparation. And with those three things, we were always well coached. We were always on the field and doing the right things, and that is what allowed us to be successful and put us in a position to, you know, dominate. I mean, we were winning games in the Pac-10. Not by 5 or 10 points. It's kind of like what Oregon is doing now. I mean, we were dominating teams in the early 90s through 93, to the point where the only way they could stop us was to, you know, ban us. That was the only reason, his reign of domination. And even when he, went out in protest, and stepped down as coach, that was all about his principles as well. He's a very principled man. I was telling a story before we got disconnected that kind of highlights that a little bit. I remember, right there at the end of my season, my senior year, and I hurt my knee in the UCLA game, and I wasn't able to play in the final game of the season, which was Washington State. And here I was, a senior captain, last game of my career, the Apple Cup, which is the biggest rivalry. And I had gotten hurt, had to have surgery on my knee. And when I got out of surgery, the first person that was there when I woke up was Coach James, along with my mom. But he was there to let me know that we care about you. You're a big part of this team. And, you know, I want to make sure you're all right. And the very same man was like, a couple of days later when, we got ready to head off for Washington State, wouldn't take me on the trip because that was one of his rules. And that was the way he ran his program. And what I hope people can see out of that is that he was principled. He was disciplined. He was organized. And he was human. He was there when I came out of the surgery. But the way he ran his program was, injured players don't travel. And it I think what it does for a young man like me, it's about being consistent. You got to be consistent. You got to be consistent and stand on your values and the way you do things, but at the same time, show that human side. And I think Don James showed all those things.
Yeah, Greg, and how fitting is it that on the campus of the University of Washington this week, it is homecoming week, and the entire Husky community can celebrate the life of Coach James this weekend.
Absolutely. I think, it's fitting that so many players are probably coming to town this week, and fans and longtime Husky supporters, because it is homecoming, to enjoy that camaraderie. And it's fitting that this will be a time that, knowing that this was imminent, we certainly all, you know, when he was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer, knew that it was probably a matter of time. It's fitting that all the dogs, and the real dogs, would be in the house. And, you know, it's a homecoming for us and a homegoing for Coach at the same time. You know, I love that guy. When I graduated and went on to play in the NFL and then became a person working at the University of Washington, he was someone that I reached out to kind of be there to support me in my career. And he's done that and was that for me. So I'm just proud to have played for Coach James. You know, it's one of the things that I'll count as a blessing in my life and helped me become the person that I am. And I hope that I can, in some small way, carry on the legacy of Coach James.
That's Greg Lewis, Husky legend. And, hey, Greg, we thank you for being on the show, man. And thank you for having taking the time out to reflect on Coach Don James. You know, this is a tough time for the Pacific Northwest and the country as a whole. And again, we thank you for taking the time out to talk about Coach. And we know some great things are going to happen. I know ceremonies are going to be coming about here in the next week or so. But again, thank you for taking that time out, brother.
thanks for having me on, guys. Go Dawgs, and love you, Coach Jay.
All right.
Thanks a lot, Greg.
No problem.
Greg Lewis, Husky legend, coming on the show. And Sean Wally, man, I can't, you know, can't begin to tell you, you know, again, the thoughts that are going on in my mind, you know, as far as, you know, my early childhood and getting the chance to see how the Huskies, you know, came to fruition. I mean, it was because of Coach Don James, the Godfather. And, man, you know, we're going to miss a great one here on earth, but, you know, he's gone to a higher place and, you know, going to be praying for his family.
Yeah, definitely. And he will be missed here on this earth, but he touched a lot of lives, did Coach James. And thanks so much to Greg Lewis for joining us here on the Double with the Double S Express. And coming back on the other side of the break, Danny O'Neill from 710 ESPN Seattle. Stay tuned. This is On the Double with the Double S Express.
What's my image?
What's my image?
What's my image?
At Images Barbershop and Styles, you get the best cut, the best design, and the best styles in the Sacramento area. Plus the affordable price, along with the fun, family-friendly atmosphere, you'll walk away with a look of satisfaction and the feeling of a new you. Do you have your image?
We have ours!
Images Barbershop and Styles, located at 10040 Bruceville Road, Elk Grove, California, Suite 140. For appointments, call 916-271-0218. That's Images Barbershop and Styles.
Who likes the inconvenience of car repairs? Not only do car repairs take time and money from you, but can you even trust your repair shop? Nate, Dave, and the team at Platinum Automotive Services in Tri-Cities, Washington are honest and trustworthy, and they take great care of your vehicle. From the basic oil change to full engine rebuilds, they do it all. Like the Platinum Automotive Services Facebook page for a shot at a free oil change. Platinum Automotive Services, platinum service without the platinum price.
Welcome back to On the Double with the Double S Express, Sean Wally and Sean Boyd.
Welcome back to On the Double with the Double S Express, Sean Wally alongside Sean Boyd. And let's go right back out to the phone lines and welcome in big time guest number two this evening. That is Danny O'Neill, co-host of Brock and Danny on 710 ESPN Seattle. Danny, thanks so much for taking the time out this evening.
Not a problem. Thanks for having me on, Sean.
Danny, I want to talk a little bit about, obviously, the Seattle Seahawks, a team you've covered for many years at the Seattle Times before making the switch to 710 ESPN. And, of course, they're off to a great start, best start in their history at 6-1. And things are just seeming to come together very well, even though there's been some struggles on the offensive side, yet they're still 6-1.
It's been I don't think they've been as consistent as they would want on offense, but the defense has been very, very constant for them. It's been something that they can really rely upon. And Russell Wilson, as much as there was a question about a sophomore slump, he's really the focus of everything they do on offense. And the fact that they are 6-1 is a tribute to his ability to improvise, whether it was winning the season opener at Carolina with his ability to drop back and be a conventional passer, his ability to scramble to victory. That was really the reason they were able to come back in Houston, was he rushed for 74 yards in the fourth quarter in overtime. So they've been very versatile. And let's not forget that their offense really right now, in some ways, they're waiting to get at full strength. Percy Harvin will begin practicing this week. They're still hoping to get Breno Giacomini and then left tackle Russell Okung back. If they do get 100% healthy, there's the possibility that you could see the offense turn the corner much like it did a year ago when it really hits its stride in December.
Danny O'Neill, kind enough to join us on the Double with the Double S Express. You'd mentioned that, you know, just, you know, you and Sean were just talking about the inconsistencies on the offense. Now, there's a couple of players that will be coming back, I believe, that you had just mentioned. And, of course, you know, at the wide receiver position, they're just going to keep getting stronger. Russell Wilson, is it a concern? Even though he's leading the NFL in his passer rating, it seems like there's been a little bit of ups and downs. I mean, do you see him plateauing here or actually getting to a higher level here in the next few games?
The biggest question is the number of hits he's taking. He's being hit quite a bit. Entering last week's game against Arizona, there was a statistic from ESPN that he had been either sacked or hit on 37% of his dropbacks. It's more than 1 in 3. That's too much, especially when you consider the fact he's not a slight guy. He's not small. He's short, but he's not small. He's pretty thoroughly built. And I'll say that he seems to have an ability to not let guys hit him square up. That said, he has taken some shots. They need to protect better. And most of the time when people would say, well, if your quarterback's going to run, he's going to get hit like that. A lot of the pressure and a lot of the contact that he's facing is coming not when he chooses to run, but in situations where they result from the pass protection. So in my mind, the biggest issue is, can they start to protect him a little better? Can they minimize some of the hits that he's taking? Because at some point, it's not a question of, are you going to get hurt, but there's a cumulative effect of all those hits. So I've been really impressed with his ability to not force things, that he's shown an ability to continue to make plays and actually be more aggressive in terms of what they allow him to do within the offense without committing turnovers. But there's going to be a concern about his ability to stay healthy given the number of hits he's taking.
Staying on the offensive side of the ball, Danny, you know, one of the things that has caused him, meaning Russell Wilson, to take a lot of hits is the injuries on the offensive line. There's also a concern also at running back with Marshawn Lynch. Of course, you know, whenever he gets the ball, you know, everybody's screaming beast mode. How concerned should we be as far as Marshawn Lynch taking punishment with those hits as well?
Right now, the biggest issue with Marshawn is holding on to the football. He's been a guy who's been very good about holding on to it over the course of his career, but he's fumbled in 3 of the past 4 games. He's lost 2 of those fumbles. That's something. If there's one sort of overriding imperative Pete Carroll has, is that he wants his team to hold on to the football. In Arizona, the only downside to that game was you did have Marshawn Lynch fumble once, and they recovered that one. But then you also had Russell Wilson twice fumbling inside Seattle's own 20. Arizona's first 2 red zone possessions came in that game courtesy of Seattle turnovers. They'd like to see a little more consistency that way. They've actually done a good job of monitoring and reducing Marshawn Lynch's workload. Last year, he carried 20 or more times in each of the first 5 games. This season, he's only carried more than 20 times in 2 of the first 6. So they have done a little bit of dialing down his carries. So we'll see how it goes from here.
Danny, is the Real Rob Report about to return to Renton and the VMAC?
We're going to see. They had him in reportedly for a physical. There's been no announcement on whether he's re-signed with the team. We'll see. I know that he is a very popular person within that locker room. That said, that the decision that was made to keep Derek Coleman ahead of Mike Robinson was not strictly a financial one. That was one that came down to they believed that Derek Coleman, as a younger player, offered a little bit more at that position. Now, Derek Coleman's going to be out. It looks like he suffered a hamstring injury. And that's something that's probably not going to heal up in a week or even 2, maybe. Spencer Ware hasn't played in the past month because of a high ankle sprain. They do have a need for a fullback, so I could see them bringing Mike Robinson back. He's someone who knows the offense and knows what they're doing. But it's not a slam dunk that he's here for the rest of the season. We'll have to see. Very popular guy, though. The ultimate professional. I would say it's more likely than not that he is there when the team is practicing tomorrow, but there's been no word yet.
And of course, upcoming this next week, the Seahawks travel to St. Louis for another nationally televised game, Monday Night Football against the Rams, who took a big hit yesterday with the loss of Sam Bradford to an ACL tear. And you've got to be thinking that the defensive side of the ball in Seattle, they're just licking their chops, ready to fire off on Kellen Clemens or whoever is behind center.
That's going to be St. Louis has been the disappointment of the division so far this season, and that was even before Bradford's injury. A lot of people thought that that was a team, given how young they were a year ago, the fact that they had finally given some weapons around Sam Bradford and drafting Tavon Austin, hopefully Brian Quick would be developing, that was seen as a real up-and-coming team. They've been puzzlingly inconsistent. The big biggest long-term concern for the Rams, other than quarterback, that's obviously a huge question for them going forward. Sam Bradford is on one of the old rookie contracts. He's making a ton of dough. And I don't think anybody can say, is he a franchise quarterback or is he not? Is he a guy that you can build a championship caliber team around or is he not? Other than that, the biggest concern, they paid a lot of money to Jake Long and their protection has not been very good. That offensive line should have taken a huge step forward this year with some of the continuity that they put in place and the fact that they did bring in Jake Long. That hasn't worked out that way. So we're going to see. Now, the one thing that St. Louis does do, St. Louis has an ability to generate pass rush by just bringing four guys, and that's been a vulnerability for Seattle so far. I think this could be a close, hard-fought game, but there's also the possibility of a blowout because St. Louis really, even before the injury to Bradford, was a disappointment in the division this year.
Danny O'Neill, kind enough to join us on the double with the Double S Express. Danny, is there any concern as far as a letdown is concerned for the Seahawks coming up this weekend?
I don't think so. You don't, when you have a nationally showcased game like this, it's really hard to think that they're going to overlook anybody. Players love to know that the rest of the league is watching, and this is going to be a stage for Seattle. And you look back over the past few years, they've tended to play some of their best games when they've been in that spotlight. So we'll see how that goes. But this is, they lost at St. Louis last year. They've lost at St. Louis two of the past 3 years that they've played there. So no, I don't think there's much of a chance of them overlooking the Rams. And not only to mention that, St. Louis is one of the feistier teams in this league. That's true generally of Jeff Fisher coach teams, but there's going to be some chippiness out there.
Yeah, you know, I echo your sentiments. I think that Seattle's definitely going to come out and take care of business. Definitely after coming off of a win against the Tennessee Titans, they should steamroll and set up an interesting game. I'm still circling December the 8th in San Francisco. Do you see both teams going in with the San Francisco 49ers one game out with a chance to play for first?
The 49ers certainly seem to have turned the page. You remember after they lost to Seattle and the next week lost a pretty lopsided game to Indianapolis. There's a lot of wonder of, were they down too many weapons on offense without Crabtree, without Manningham? Were they going to be able to kind of get things corrected? Vernon Davis was banged up after that game in Seattle. They've really corrected things nicely and gone back to what they do best, which is run the football. They've been very productive offensively the past 3 weeks. There's a long way between now and then. Seattle really, this game against St. Louis ends what I consider the first gauntlet in their schedule. They played 4 road games in the span of 5 weeks. And right now they're 3-1 in those games. They'll close that out with St. Louis. That game at St. Louis, at San Francisco, is actually going to come six days after they play New Orleans at home on a Monday night game. So that's going to kind of be the second little twist in the schedule. They come off of their bye, then they face the New Orleans Saints. So we're going to have to see how they're able to weather that.
Danny O'Neill joining us here on the Double with the Double S Express. Danny, co-host of Brock and Danny, mornings 9 to noon on 710 ESPN Seattle. And Danny, I heard a bit of your show this morning, and you and Brock were talking about how it was a weird Monday, a bit of a weird show, just because of the fact that, number one, there was no Seahawk game to talk about from the previous Sunday. And of course, the passing of Husky legendary coach Don James, and you yourself being a graduate of UW. What are your thoughts? What are your feelings of the greatest coach in Husky history passing away?
I'm certainly sad. He was sort of the epitome of he embodied the height of Washington's success. Those 3 straight Rose Bowl appearances, the fact they shared a national championship in 1991. He redefined what success meant in football in this city in general and certainly at Washington in particular. The past 20 years have really been in the shadow of what he accomplished with the program. I have a lot of respect and really just sort of admiration and gratitude for what he accomplished at the school. And it's certainly a huge loss within his family and within the community of the University of Washington as well. So it's tough from that regard. He had a huge impact on a lot of people. We heard from Jim Mora today, coach at UCLA. Nick Saban has talked about the Alabama coach who said that Don James was one of the formative influences on the way he coaches. So there's certainly, coming out of this, there's definitely sort of a heartfelt feeling of gratitude toward Coach James and just respect and then a little bit of sadness that he's gone.
Danny, for those of us who had the chance to actually witness some of the greatness that took place with that University of Washington program when Don James was the head coach, Steve Sarkisian mentioned something on the Jim Rome show a couple of weeks ago as far as he would like to stay in Seattle to win as many bowl games as Don James or have as many wins as Don James. Do you think that the players in, you know, today at the University of Washington connect the dots, if you will, with, you know, the legendaryism of Don James?
Certainly the era has changed. There has been a change in the pecking order within the Pac-12 in general, within the Northwest in particular. You now have an empire sitting just down I-5 to the south in Eugene, and the success that the University of Oregon has had. There's a little bit of a facilities race. I'll say this, that with the setting of Husky Stadium and the fact that this is one of the few Pac-12 schools that is in a major city, there's no reason that the University of Washington can't get back to being a regular contender in the conference. I don't know if we'll ever see a point where they reach the heights that they had in the early 90s, where you have three straight Rose Bowl appearances, but certainly this idea that it is a run-of-the-mill conference program, that it can go, that seven wins is about average, I think that's selling this program and this university short. We're going to see. The one thing that Don James did above everything else is there was a toughness to the line of scrimmage, the number of offensive linemen that program put into the NFL, the dominance that they had on defense. You don't see that level of physical. They're not able to impose their will right now. They went to a more hurry-up offense, which was in part in hopes to alleviate some of the weaknesses and shortcomings they have on the offensive line. And I think what these past three games have shown, where the University of Washington has been less and less competitive. They lost a very disappointing game at Stanford that really, in a lot of ways, they outgained the Cardinal. If it's not for a couple special teams plays, if it's not for 10 penalties. But that in and of itself, those were two hallmarks of Don James, was the strength of Washington on special teams and their discipline. Oregon simply was outclassed Washington this year. Their offense was too powerful. And this last game, the loss at Arizona State was the most, in my mind, the most disappointing result since Steve Sarkisian has been the head coach. If they don't run the table and win their final five games, there's no way that you can sell this season as anything other than a lateral step or a step back for the program.
Danny O'Neill, Danny of Brock and Danny, 710 ESPN Seattle, 9 to noon weekdays. And Danny, on a more personal level, you recently moved over full-time to 710 ESPN from the Seattle Times, Seattle Seahawks beat. And I'm curious as to how that transition's gone for you. And I mean, in my opinion, you do a great job on the radio. And we know that back in 2012, you were a fill-in host for quite a while until you joined Brock on the morning show. And what has that been like for you? And how's that been going?
It's been awesome. I appreciate it. It's been a humbling experience. It's doing something that I had no training in. In a lot of ways, I was a part-time employee at the station a year ago. It's shocking to me that my career and the opportunity that came up and that I had even the chance to do this. I've had a great time. I am continuing to try and get better each day. I have a lot to learn about working in radio in general, and at 710 ESPN Seattle in particular, but I have a blast every day. Those 3 hours on the air with Brock are always unpredictable. I always learn something. I always laugh when I don't expect to get an unexpected laugh out of every show. And it's been a great experience. I've been really grateful for the opportunity from 710 ESPN Seattle, and I'm grateful for the chance that I get each day to connect with listeners.
And you still get to write, and you can find Danny's articles at 710sports.com and all of the shows on demand there as well at the Brock and Danny page, 710sports.com. And Danny O'Neill, it's been great talking to you, and we thank you so much for your time tonight. And hopefully we can have you on down the road and continue talking sports and broadcasting.
Thanks, Danny.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks. Thanks, Sean and Sean.
Danny O'Neill, Danny of Brock and Danny, 710sports.com, 710 ESPN Seattle, kind enough to take the time out tonight and talk about the Seahawks and what's going on at the University of Washington with Coach Don James passing and his own experiences with moving over from the newspaper to the radio station.
Yeah, you know, Danny has definitely stepped up his game. You know, of course, taking over for Sock, going to the East Coast of Boston. And Danny has filled in just well, you know, as far as, you know, the information that is gathered and given to the public. And so congratulations to him on that. And, you know, yeah, he's just insightful. And so, you know, enjoyed having Danny on the show.
It's been a whirlwind show here on the Double with the Double S Express. And coming up after the break, we will touch on a few of the goings on in sports in the last week and get you primed for the next show next week. You're listening to On the Double with the Double S Express.
I'm gonna pop some tags, only got $20 in my pocket. I'm looking for a comma. This is awesome.
What's my image?
What's my image?
At Images Barbershop and Styles, you get the best cut, the best design, and the best styles in the Sacramento area. Plus the affordable price, along with the fun, family-friendly atmosphere, you'll walk away with a look of satisfaction and the feeling of a new you. Do you have your image?
We have ours!
Images Barbershop and Styles, located at 10040 Bruceville Road, Elk Grove, California, Suite 140. For appointments, call 916-271-0218. That's Images Barbershop and Styles.
Who likes the inconvenience of car repairs? Not only do car repairs take time and money from you, but can you even trust your repair shop? Nate, Dave, and the team at Platinum Automotive Services in Tri-Cities, Washington are honest and trustworthy, and they take great care of your vehicle. From the basic oil change to full engine rebuilds, they do it all. Like the Platinum Automotive Services Facebook page for a shot at a free oil change. Platinum Automotive Services, Platinum Service without the platinum price.
Welcome back to On the Double with the Double S Express, Sean Wally and Sean Boyd.
Welcome back to On the Double with the Double S Express. Sean Wally alongside Sean Boyd as we are set to wrap up show number 24, a very good number in my mind. Of course, that of Ken Griffey Jr., Sean Springs, now Marshawn Lynch. The list goes on and on. Sean Boyd, show 24, about to wrap up. We had Greg Lewis, University of Washington great, and also from the University of Washington back in the day where he went to college, Danny O'Neill of 710 ESPN Seattle.
Yes, two great guests on the show. Hey, before we close out, let's open up these phone lines real quick to see if anybody has any thoughts or concerns. That's 888-429-5471 to call into the show. Again, that's 888-429-5471. Again, great guests on Greg Lewis, Danny O'Neill, getting a chance to reflect a little bit on the life of Don James and, you know, some of the things that he's accomplished in his life. And of course, as you had mentioned, getting a chance to talk about the Seattle Seahawks, some of the upcomings that are going on with them. Monday Night Football, the St. Louis Rams, the beleaguered St. Louis Rams. And, you know, I'm expecting that the Seattle Seahawks will take care of business once again, Sean Wally.
Good night. You know, ESPN has got to be just up in arms at how that game is not going the way they thought it would. You know, the beginning of the year, you thought St. Louis was an up-and-coming team and things were looking up for them, and they start out the gate very slowly, and then they had a couple wins in a row, and now they take one big time on the chin with their quarterback going out and Sam Bradford with the ACL. So it should be a one-sided affair in Seattle's favor.
Yeah, St. Louis was one of those teams that the question mark that I felt in the NFC West that would, you know, at least give the top teams, you know, a run for their money, meaning the Seattle Seahawks and the San Francisco 49ers. It hasn't happened thus far. And again, we're just in the first half of the season. But isn't it interesting, Sean Wally, that when we talk about football and we talk about upcoming teams, that there was another team just across the state in Missouri that is actually doing phenomenal, and that is the Kansas City Chiefs, that are the only undefeated team in the NFL.
Yeah, definitely not what anyone would have expected. I mean, I've been on this show here saying that Kansas City would be one of the surprises. Definitely, I didn't think they would be undefeated at this point, but goodness, it just goes to show you what a good defense and a solid game manager at quarterback that doesn't turn the ball over can do for you, not to mention a great head coach.
So I guess the question that we should be asking ourselves as far as the Kansas City Chiefs are concerned, of course, Andy Reid, we've known that he's a great coach, of course, doing some great things with the Philadelphia Eagles and now over in Kansas City. But what does that say about the decision-making process in San Francisco? And I know that San Francisco is turning things around, and Colin Kaepernick, to me, I believe is a great quarterback. But when you start to dismiss a game manager, especially one that is as good as Alex Smith, you have to ask yourself, is that the right decision to go with the flashy, more, athletic quarterback? Or do you want somebody that's actually going to run your offense the way that you want it to be run and get wins, in the win column? And so right now it looks like it's that steady as you go type of quarterback, and Alex Smith, that's showing longevity this season.
Well, here's one that maybe 49er fans won't like, and maybe they'll call in and tell us that, and I'm game. Let's go. Jim Harbaugh. Jim Harbaugh as a quarterback. He was a gunslinger that would take some risks, but he was also a game manager. He didn't have the speed of a Kaepernick. Maybe he didn't have the intangibles that Kaepernick does. And do you think maybe that has anything to do with why he went and sided with Kaepernick versus the lollydoll up and down the field, don't make a mistake, play it safe, Alex Smith?
I'm thinking that the correlation between Coach Harbaugh and Colin Kaepernick goes to, just being a renegade. He related to Colin a little bit more than Alex. When Jim Harbaugh played, he was known as Captain Comeback. And, as you had mentioned, he played a steady game, but there were times where he would take that risk. And what Colin does is every now and again, he will take that risk with his athleticism, and it pays great dividends. Now, I know that Alex Smith is, more vanilla than, most would want him to be. But when you're undefeated and you have, a high passing percentage that you have, knowing that he's had six different offensive coordinators in as many years, and now he's with a new team, you have to ask yourself and question, man, would have we been a lot better off if I'm San Francisco? Would have we been a lot better off with Alex Smith?
Well, they were doing very well when Smith had the concussion last season and Colin took over, and the ball was never given back to Alex Smith.
And so these things we can always ask, what if, but man, what a great story right now as far as Kansas City is concerned. And now that they sit atop of the NFL, how far can they take it? Each week there's a team that falls by the wayside. And of course, this past week, yesterday, it was the Denver Broncos that took the L. And every time a team takes a loss, that 72 Miami Dolphins team breathes a sigh of relief. And, wouldn't it be something if the Kansas City Chiefs could run the table? Go 16-0, go into the playoffs and do some damage, and then, find themselves just as the New England Patriots were a few years ago as they played against the New York Giants. And, that would be a storybook written for the ages if Alex Smith could pull this one off.
Oh, especially how the Chiefs were, 2-14 last year. They didn't play for Coach Romeo Crennel, who is a great guy and a good football coach, and they had the off the field issues with that squad, and now here they are at 7-0.
Yeah, they defy all the odds that say that, hey, when you get a new coach and a new quarterback, that it's going to take some time to actually develop the team that you want. Kansas City just, throws that theory out the window as they are having instant success. And you just wonder how long it's going to be before they act, before that you know, that glass slipper turns back into a pumpkin.
Speaking of a glass slipper, there are some positive, good things, some momentum swings happening to you and your family. And let's start with big time guest from last week, Daniel Barkley, former receiver at Oregon, now works for the University of Washington. Oh, the irony. But let's talk about what happened to Daniel this past weekend in Eugene.
Man, well, you know, my son had the chance to, you know, he was honored at halftime, you know, being an Oregon Duck alumni, being honored at halftime. And what a great game that was that he was at. The Washington State Cougars came into town into Eugene, and they got the same rude awakening that a lot of teams have been taking over the past, what is it, 8-9 years now. And, you know, it was great. You know, my son got a chance to go out there on the field and get his name called and, you know, recognized as, you know, one of the Oregon Ducks that has paved the way for these guys that are doing some great things today. So it's an exciting time for our family, exciting time for Daniel. And, you know, it's just, you know, one of those feathers in his cap that he can take on and, you know, and pass on to his family.
Wonder if he was able to get a, pink helmet or pink towel or some pink shoes as Oregon and Nike went all pink for breast cancer awareness here in October.
Well, you know, there are some great things that are going on at the University of Oregon that continue to go on. And I know that, you know, Uncle Phil is what we call him, continues to push the envelope as far as greatness is concerned. There's some things that, you know, I probably can't share that they're doing internally as far as, you know, just some of the cool things that they've developed in the locker rooms and in the, you know, in their coaching rooms and all of that. And so, you know, Daniel was kind enough to share those things with me. And so I, you know, Oregon's program is going nowhere but up. And as long as Phil Knight has his hand in on it, I see the Oregon Ducks in the top three, top five every year, you know, until, you know, that money train stops.
And that's not only the goodness that is happening out of the Boyd household, Sean, but let's talk about something happening to yours truly, meaning you, Sean Boyd, and some new experiences and some soccer in your future in the coming weeks.
Well, man, thank you very much. You know, one of the things that we, you know, strive to do, especially on the show, and then some of the things that you and I do, are to make sure that we're advancing ourselves to the next level. And of course, you know, I've had the chance to be offered to do some things for the CIF, the California Interscholastic Federation, for the National Federation of High School Sports, the NFHS. And so I will be doing, the soccer championships for California, Northern California here on November the 16th.
And that will be a live stream online, a video, not video conference, but basically an online video stream of the game. And you will be doing analysis of up to 4 or 5 soccer matches that day.
Yeah. And so, you know, it's an exciting time. And again, you know, taking that step, you know, that you and I have always talked about. And so, you know, it's fun. You know, it's going to be fun for me. Soccer is a sport that is not my forte, but you can be rest assured that I'm definitely doing a lot of studying on it. And I'm excited to embrace that, you know, excited to embrace a lot of the things that high school has to offer, not just in soccer, but football, basketball, baseball, track, lacrosse, you name it, tennis, the whole nine. And so, I think that it'll be great, and, you know, look forward to you doing some great things here in the upcoming months as well.
Well, if we could only get the Play On Sports / NFHS people to, let me know what they're thinking allowing me to get the travel arranged and time off from the day job, I would be more than willing and more than happy to join you down in the 916 and call whatever sport it would be. And they're doing you and us a disservice by not putting the true double S together on the internet.
Just a matter of time, Sean Wally, just a matter of time. And, you know, there's some you know, there's plenty of opportunity for us. And so, you know, we've got the chance to pave the way. And I believe that we're paving the way for a lot of broadcasters. And so the biggest thing is to just take a deep breath and take the next step forward and walk, you know, and walk by faith. And that's what we're doing each and every day. And so, you know, I appreciate the journey that is coming along. And, you know, I'm expecting some great things with our show on the Double with the Double S Express. And, you know, looking forward to, you know, more exciting guests in the near future as well.
And of course, we'll keep you updated on the NFHS online broadcast and keep you abreast of what is happening there. And right now it is set that Sean Boyd will be an analyst on November 16th, which is a Saturday. And so NFHS.com is the place to go to find Sean Boyd's analysis live over the internet.
And so again, you know, heading over to the coast in Northern California should be fun. You know, I will be watching again a lot of soccer coming up, and should I say football. You know, be sure to tune in and listen to those, and we'll keep you posted on where you can watch those games as well. But you know, I'm eager and you know, happy and flattered at the same time.
That's the voice of Sean Boyd. I am Sean Wally. This is On the Double with the Double S Express as we wrap up show number 24. And you can find us on Twitter at Double S Express, X-P-R-E-S-S, or Facebook at the same name, Double S Express with no E, X-P-R-E-S-S. Send us an email, Sean, S-H-A-W-N, at double-s-express.com, or Sean Boyd at S-E-A-N. At double-s-express.com. Our website, double-s-express.com. Find all the information you need on our upcoming shows and our previous guests and our interviews. And if you missed a show or want to hear it again, that's the place you can do it.
Yeah, you know, we're getting a lot of emails from listeners and people who enjoy the show. And, you know, we thank you for that insight and those questions that, you know, you feel you want asked. And so, you know, it's an exciting time for us. So, you know, please don't hesitate to do that. Any, you know, questions or concerns, go ahead and email us. And, you know, I know it's only 1 hour and we're looking to expand this here in the future, but there's a lot of sports to talk about. And man, so little time, Sean Wally.
Yeah, time definitely does fly. As we said, this is show 24. Hard to believe when we started back in May that it's already been 24 weeks.
Yeah, you know, and it's been a fun time. And again, you know, I wish we can actually take the time out to talk about a lot of things. There's so many things to talk about in the world of sports. Of course, you know, we'd be remiss to not mention what's going on right now. For those of you who have taken the time out from Monday Night Football to listen to our show, which we appreciate that, of course. Now, the Giants are up 20-7 on Minnesota. Of course, this is Josh Freeman's debut as the Minnesota Vikings starting quarterback, and it's not turning out to be a good one thus far. And of course, the New York Giants are looking to get off the schneid and get their first victory. Fourth quarter, it looks like they might be doing that, Sean Wally.
Another thing, who would have guessed or even bet that the Giants wouldn't have a win, and now they finally might be getting their first win this season in the NFL.
Yeah, and so Tom Coughlin can, you know, he's really close, 12 minutes away from getting that first win. And, you know, that's, you know, again, that's why they play the games. Who would have thought that the Pittsburgh Steelers would be in the position that they're in with only two wins this season? And so, and also as we kind of beat with a dead horse, the Kansas City Chiefs theme as well. But, you know, that's why they play the games.
And the Steelers making the long trip to the southwest coast of the United States to take on the Oakland Raiders on Sunday.
I am definitely excited about that game. And, you know, I'm looking at, you know, two ships almost passing in the wind with, you know, Ben Roethlisberger. He looks like he's getting a little bit older, but you can't put anything past him. He can also, you know, put up the numbers. But, of course, Terrell Pryor with a week off and that bye week, you know, it should be an exciting game to see how the Raiders come off of the bye week. You know, will they come out rusty? Will they come out with the momentum of the black hole behind them? And, you know, what will the Pittsburgh Steelers bring coming into Oakland? So I'm looking forward to this one this weekend.
And I believe you'll have a front row seat working that game for CBS.
Definitely. We'll be right there, either on the field or in the booth. So, you know, trying to get a couple of interviews there and talk with a few players. And, you know, who knows? See if we can get them on the show.
And, of course, as you mentioned, so much always going on in the sports world. We can't get to it all. We've got the World Series set to start in Major League Baseball, the Boston Red Sox, the St. Louis Cardinals, two storied franchises going for the championship. And, of course, college football, so many teams, so little time.
Yeah, you know, and you mentioned college football. You know, we'll probably have to take the time out next week and talk a little bit about this, but I don't know if you've been paying attention to what's been going on down in the South. Louisiana, Grambling University, a historic black college with great athletes that have come out and tremendous coaches as well. The turmoil that's going on down there as far as the players boycotting, you know, the players saying that the facilities are horrible and, you know, trying to get the NCAA involved. You know, this is something that is very serious. And so, you know, Grambling State is held near and dear to my heart. Of course, you all know my uncle who played for the Oakland Raiders, you know, graduated from Grambling and, you know, went on to do some great things in the NFL. So it's a big concern down there. And so, you know, we might have to touch base a little bit on that next week.
Well, the legendary coach, Eddie Robinson, late great, is definitely turning over in his grave at what is going on at his former employer.
My goodness, you know, and of course, Doug Williams, you know, the 1984 Super Bowl champion, and, you know, was just fired at the beginning of the season. You know, there's a whole bunch of things going on, you know, that just doesn't add up. And I'm sure in the coming days, we're going to find out about it. And, you know, once we do, we're going to bring that out to you, the listeners. And so stay tuned for that.
That's the voice of Sean Boyd. I am Sean Wally, wrapping up show number 24 here on the Double with the Double S Express. A big thank you to University of Washington running back legend Greg Lewis joining us to talk about his insight and his time with Don James as the legendary Dogfather passed away yesterday at the age of 80. And Danny O'Neill, 710 ESPN Seattle, co-host of Brock and Danny, mornings 9 to noon, talking about the Seahawks. And Danny also went to the University of Washington and gave his thoughts on Coach Don James.
Yes, so it was University of Washington filled again. And, of course, you know, future guests as well. We'll try to keep it in that Pacific Northwest tie. But we look forward to have some exciting guests on for you in the coming weeks. For Sean Wally, I am Sean Boyd. We are the Double S Express. You've been listening to On the Double with the Double S Express. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks for listening to On the Double with the Double S Express. Join us next Monday for some more great sports talk and big-time guests. On the Double with the Double S Express.